Our patience is a virtue, the old saying goes, and according to the Apostle Paul's exhortation to Titus, it is also a sign of spiritual vitality and healthiness. The Apostle here was giving instructions to Titus regarding his teaching ministry on the island of Crete. It was a ministry that had to take in various age groups. And you can see that here from the emphasis that Paul brings to Titus's attention regarding the aged men in verse 2, and then the aged women in verse 3, and then the young women in verse 4, and the young men in verse 6. Here was a congregation of different age groups. And the Apostle Paul was instructing Titus regarding his ministry to each of those different age groups. But it was also a ministry that had to seek the spiritual health of the people. And that is indicated in the second verse of the chapter when he says to Timothy that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound, in faith, in charity, in patience. That word sound there is a term that would indicate healthiness. It literally means to be healthy, and we could translate it in that way, healthy in faith, in charity, and in patience. So the apostle is instructing Timothy or Titus that he has a ministry for all age groups, and also a ministry that's got to take into consideration the spiritual condition of all those different age groups. And he was to seek and promote their spiritual healthiness. He was to examine the health of the people with regard to these three areas: their faith, their charity, and their patience. Now it's this last area that I want to consider tonight, the soundness of their patience. That they be sound in patience. It is one thing for a man to be sound in the faith, and it's very necessary for him to be sound or healthy in the faith. But notice here that the Apostle Paul adds this aspect of spiritual healthiness, namely a patient spirit. A man may very well be orthodox in his creed. He may be sound in the faith, in his knowledge of the Word of God, in his adherence to the doctrine of the gospel, and yet he may have an impatient spirit, a temper that lacks a display of discipline and self-control. And here the apostle brings the two together. Not only what we are to believe, but how we are to conduct ourselves. We're to be sound in the faith, in the knowledge of the truth and the doctrine of the gospel, and we're also to be healthy, we're also to be sound in patience, in the controlling and discipline of our own spirit. Now, patience is one of those distinguishable marks of the Christian life. The believer's life upon this earth is one of patient waiting, waiting for the coming of the Lord, waiting for the redemption of our body. When a man becomes a Christian, he joins the waiting list, the list of those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. If you turn back a few chapters to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1 and the verse 9, he says to these believers in Thessalonica that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. The Christian life is a life of waiting. If you look again at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse 5, he says to them, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So the apostle summarizes and describes the Christian life as a life of patient waiting We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We're waiting for that day when Christ will come again and the trumpet will sound to usher in that eternal age, bring about the redemption of our body and the completion of God's redemptive purpose for His church. Patience, then, is a mark of the Christian life. The word that is used here in the original language in Titus chapter 2 and verse 2 is a word that is very suggestive. It is made up of two words that are joined together, and when they are literally translated, it means to remain under. To remain under. That's what this word patience suggests. It suggests staying power. The thought there is of being under a burden, but remaining under that burden and bearing up that burden and holding out, enduring, enduring to the end. This is the quality that will make a Christian healthy and will cause him to progress along the pilgrim pathway. One of the marks of grace is endurance. It is perseverance, this spirit of patient waiting upon the Lord. Now, there are many aspects of the spiritual life in which we need patience. And I want us just to consider some of those aspects this evening. Paul says that we are to be sound in patience. We're to be healthy in this matter of patience. Well, in what areas, in what aspect of the Christian life do we need patience? Well, I think the first area that we need patience is in regard to the afflictions of life. There are afflictions common to all men, whether they be saved or unsaved. We think of poverty. We may think of ill health. We may think of times of bereavement when death comes. These are common afflictions. They're common to all men, whether they are saved or unsaved. But there are also afflictions that are peculiar to the people of God. Afflictions that are associated with being a Christian. Afflictions which are permitted in the providential purpose of God. And afflictions oftentimes which are not explained, which are not understood by the people of God. Trials that come upon our life, trials that cross our path, that when we meet them head on, when we face them at first hand, we do not understand or recognize the purpose for them. It is then that we need patience. And patience will not only enable us to endure those afflictions, but patience will be the hallmark of our spiritual life. It'll be the evidence of grace. If you turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is the chapter in which the Lord tells the parable of the sower and the seed, the four different types of ground. And he interprets that parable as referring to himself going forth, sowing the seed of the word of God in the hearts of men. And of course the wayside speaks of the hard heart, and then the thorny ground, the heart that is choked with cares, the cares of this life. And then he speaks of the stony ground, where the seed fell and it sprang up very quickly. And the Lord interprets that in the verse 20 of the text. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon or straightway with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He has caused to stumble. He's caused to fall away. The Lord is speaking about a class of people who will receive the word on the outward appearance, on the surface, but it has no root in their heart. And when these afflictions and tribulations come that are associated with the Christian life, They arise because of the word, because of adhering to this doctrine. These afflictions will come, afflictions that are peculiar to the Christian life. And the Lord says, because they have no root, the word of God has no root within these people, they only endure for a while, and they fall away. They fall away. They do not endure. They do not have this patience, this staying power. Paul said to Titus, teach these things, that they be sound in patience, because patience is necessary when it comes to the afflictions of life in common, but more importantly to those afflictions that are peculiar to the Christian and associated with the Christian life. If you look at Romans chapter 12, and the verse 12, Paul gives a list of exhortations, and among them are these words, patient in tribulation. This is what we are to be. Verse 10 is really the connection. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, bearing up or remaining under that weight of tribulation, remaining, staying, enduring in that affliction. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, Paul speaks to the Hebrew believers who were experiencing a great season of affliction. Many were turning away. And he reminds them of what they had endured when they were first converted. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days. Don't forget these things, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. You endured this when you were newly converted, when you embraced the gospel. You endured this great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He's reminding them, now that they're facing another period of trial, when many of their acquaintances were turning back to Judaism, apostate Judaism, Paul says, remember at the beginning that you endured a great fight of afflictions. You were cast into the furnace, and the Lord brought you through this, but you have need of patience for this present trial that you're facing. Patience is necessary for the afflictions that we face. And the Lord has given us an example in the life and in the trials of Job himself. If you turn there to James chapter 5 and verse 10, the Apostle James says, verse 10 of chapter 5, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. They are an example of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now the Lord has put the example of Job, the record of Job, into the scripture in order to teach us that in the providential purpose and working of God, we may and often will face trials which at first may seem inexplicable to us. And in those times, We need patience. We need that spirit of endurance. We need to wait upon the Lord, and we need to wait upon the Lord to bring us through, and we need to wait upon the Lord with regard to the revealing of the reason for those trials. We need patience. We need to be sound in patience, healthy regarding this virtue of patience. But there is a second area in which we need patience. We need patience in prayer. We're exhorted to make everything a subject of prayer. There's nothing that does not fall within the parameters of presenting to God in prayer. We're to pray for everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We may pray for temporal blessings. We may pray for deliverance. We may pray for guidance. We may pray for the fulfillment of God's promises. We may pray for the conversion of loved ones. Yet no matter what the subject of our request may be, no matter how great the variety of our requests may be, our praying must always be offered in a spirit of patient waiting upon God. Some have begun to pray only to give up. And the reason why they have given up is because they did not receive the answer when they desired it. And thereby they manifested an impatient spirit. How many a believer has given up in the place of prayer simply because they did not have the patience to wait upon God's answer and to wait upon God's time? The psalmist recognized this need. If you turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And verse 1. A psalm of David. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I waited patiently for the Lord. I notice how he describes his waiting. He waited patiently. It's possible to wait upon the Lord, but not patiently. Sometimes we're forced to wait, but we may be impatient in our waiting. Here the psalmist, when he sought the Lord, when he cried to God, he waited patiently. He waited on the Lord with the spirit of patience. And when we come to the Lord in prayer, we must not come before the Lord with a spirit of impatience, as though we were demanding God to answer us immediately in our time and according to our way. When we come before the Lord, we need patience in the place of prayer. And we need to learn, I think this is one of the lost arts in relation to prayer. I think that's why prayer is something so seldom engaged in by the people of God. God's people today are impatient. We've got the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is impatient. It has to have everything instantly. This is the age of instant communication. It's the age when everything has to be done yesterday. And that spirit is imbibed by the people of God. And if God's people pray and they don't get an answer immediately, they give up praying. They do not have the patience to wait upon the Lord. If we need guidance in a matter, the Lord may keep us waiting for weeks or months or years. Whatever the case may be, whatever it is that we bring to the Lord in prayer, we must be content to lay the matter before the Lord and wait on Him, and wait on Him patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he could wait patiently upon the Lord because he had the confidence that the Lord would hear him. And the Lord would answer him. And the Lord's answer would be the best. I waited patiently for the Lord. How much we need patience. Not only in the afflictions of life that come our way, but we need patience in the place of prayer. And we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. To get before the Lord and lay the matter before him and wait before him. Wait before the Lord patiently. It's a lost art. It's something that needs to be rediscovered in the church. Waiting before the Lord. You remember when the Israelites had failed and they wanted to go and take Ai, and they didn't wait. They didn't wait for the counsel of the Lord. They just rushed ahead. You've got to wait upon the Lord and seek the Lord's guidance and wait for God's time and for God's answer. So we need patience in the afflictions of life, and we need patience in prayer. But then we also need patience in times of disappointment. Life in general, and the Christian life in particular, will face disappointments. Our purposes, our plans may be frustrated, our hopes and ambitions may fly away. And when they do so, then we are faced with disappointment, and disappointment is apt to kindle irritation. And when that spark begins to burn, it very quickly consumes all that is good and noble. Many a life has been reduced to the ashes of indifference and even resentment and bitterness because of disappointment. How necessary patience is at such a time. One of the great examples of overcoming disappointment, I believe, is Paul himself. When you read the life of Paul and you follow his travels and his journeys in the work of the Lord, you'll find that frequently his purposes were broken up. What he planned to do never materialized. He was hindered, he said, by the devil, by the powers of hell. Many a times his plans were turned on top of themselves by the actions of evil men. The churches that he helped to establish were often infested with unrest and trouble, with heresies and false doctrines. Individuals whom he had high hopes for seldom attained to those heights. And when they ought to have been teachers of the faith, they had need of one to put them through the elementary stages again. Paul had many discouragements. He had many disappointments. Yet he just kept on enduring. He just kept on. I think he is really the best commentary on his own teaching and his own exhortation. Here he is telling Titus, tell the people, tell them that they are to be sound in faith and charity and in patience. Tell them this. These are the things that you're to speak. These are the things that you're to teach. There's to be a healthiness in the faith and also a healthiness of patience. And Paul could hold himself forth as an illustration of that. He exhibited a soundness of patience even under the most crushing of circumstances. And there are times in our life when we face disappointments, and when what we plan and the ambitions that we have seem to go up in smoke, it is then that we need patience to wait upon the Lord. Sound in patience. It has been the case. Many a life that had great potential ended up really on the spiritual scrap heap because patience was not exercised in the day of disappointment, in the day of discouragement. That's why Paul says here, this is necessary. This is necessary for spiritual healthiness. Not only to be sound in the faith, not only that a man can come to the doctrine and set forth that doctrine and declare what he believes. Yes, that is necessary to spiritual healthiness, but also soundness of patience, in patience. Because if there is not a patient spirit, it can very easily lead to shipwreck along the way when the waves of disappointment crash against our life. But then there's one final area that I think we should consider. Not only patience in the afflictions of life and in the place of prayer and in the days of disappointment, but we need patience in the midst of the slow progress of gospel work. The Bible speaks of seasons in the work of God when the ploughman will overtake the reaper. You'll read about that in Amos chapter 9. And what the Lord is saying there is that the harvest will be so great that it takes such a long time to gather it in, so much so that when it comes time to plough the ground again, when the ploughman goes forth ready to plough up the ground, he meets with the reapers who are still in the field, still bringing in the harvest. So great has the harvest been that the ploughman will overtake the reaper. What a glorious promise that is. That's the promise of revival. That's the days of God's right hand. That's the days when the Lord, as Jonathan Edwards said of the great revival, when the Lord goes forth in the chariot of salvation. Days of great advancement. Days of great spiritual progress. Days when the kingdom of God is extended on the right hand and on the left hand. What a glorious promise it is. But the work of God is not always in such a condition. That promise in Amos says, behold, the days will come. And that indicates that there are other days when the ploughman does not overtake the reaper. Days when it seems progress is slow or that there is no progress at all. And in those times, the greatest enemy of the work of God is the spirit of impatience. In days of slow or seemingly no progress at all, the greatest enemy to the people of God is the spirit of impatience. When things only crawl, we want them to walk. And when they only walk, we want them to run. And when they only run, we want them to fly. And that spirit of impatience sets in. We may be tempted to say, things are too slow for me. Or things are not going fast enough. And when we do not see the growth or the advancement that we would like to see, it's very easy to become impatient and to become irritable. And when we lose our patience, we lose the very spirit and the very instrument of progress. James, if I could refer you again to that chapter, James chapter 5. James uses the illustration of the husbandman in relation to the coming of the Lord. In the verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's true to say this is in reference to the second coming of Christ, but it's also true to say that this refers to the work of God in the gospel and the advancement of the spiritual kingdom. If you think of this illustration that he's using of the husbandman, he goes forth, he ploughs the ground, he sows the seed, but he cannot send the rain. He must wait for God to do that. And Paul says that is the same. One man may plant, another man may water, but it's God that gives the increase. The progress in the work of God belongs to the Lord. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. It is the Lord that adds to the church. We have got to work. We have got to plow. We've got to sow. We've got to spread the gospel. Yes, there's a work for us to do. But we've also got to wait upon the Lord. And until the Lord comes, until the Lord comes, there will not be any increase. There will not be any advancement of that spiritual kingdom. Therefore, in days when the work of God seems to progress very slowly, or if not at all, in such times, there is need for patience. There is need for patience, that we might wait. Did you notice there, it says of this husbandman that he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Long patience. Of course, the devil will come along in such days when there's not that spiritual reaping, when there's not that progress that we would like to see. The devil will come along in order to discourage the heart and to cause us to give up. But Paul says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, in God's season, we shall reap if we faint not. And that fainting not is but the exercise of a patient spirit, enduring, remaining under, bearing up, holding out, enduring on to the end. I've used the illustration, I think, before of Luke Short, who was a young boy who listened to John Flavel preaching. John Flavel was one of the English Puritans, and he heard him preach one day, and he went away unmoved. He sailed away to the New World, he sailed away to America, and he lived there many years, an ungodly life. I think it was over 80 years later, when he was out in the field, and the sermon that he heard John Flavel preached when he was a boy came back to his remembrance, and in the field he was brought under deep conviction of sin, and there he sought and he found the Lord, and he was saved, and that harvest was reaped. But Flavel was long dead, and the word had been preached something like 80 years previously. It's God who gives the increase. And until the Lord gives the increase, we have need of patience. We have need of patience to keep on in the work that He has called us to do, in the witness here, in the testimony of the gospel, to keep on in prayer, to keep on seeking the Lord, to keep on seeking to uphold the witness of the gospel in this community and in this neighborhood. We have need of patience amid the slow progress of gospel work. But let us seek that patience, knowing that it's not only a virtue, and not only is it a mark of spiritual vitality, but it is patience that will surely bring the victory. For the Bible says in Isaiah 30, blessed are all they that wait for Him, that wait for the Lord. And when we wait patiently, the end of the Lord will be merciful and very tender unto us. The Apostle Paul said to Titus, speak these things and teach them to be sound in faith, in charity, and also in patience, in patience. And patience is something that we need to seek the Lord for, because I do not believe it comes naturally. I believe the old man is an impatient man. But a patience, the spirit and the grace, the virtue of patience, is something that is produced in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And we need that patience in times of affliction. We need the patience in the place of prayer. We need patience in days of disappointment. And we need patience in days when the progress of the gospel may seem to be very small and very slow. May the Lord give us patience, and may we learn to say like David, I waited patiently for